Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we approach you boldly because of the precious blood of Jesus. And I thank you, not based on who we are, but based on who you are. We come confidently, and we ask you to pour into our hearts, our lives today, your truth. For it's the truth that we know and embrace that brings liberty and freedom. We thank you that chains have been broken by the power of your word and your spirit and the blood of Jesus. The enemy is defeated. And so we begin to walk into that level of victory that you've called us to be in today. We thank you for your goodness. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. I want to encourage you, just lift one hand before the Lord. Just take a minute and just to tell him how much you love him right where you're at. We love you, Lord Jesus. Some of you haven't prayed in a long time. Come on, lift your hand. I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name. You say, what are we doing? We're setting the climate for your moment from God. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. We thank you, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever in the lives of your people today. Thank you. We invite you here to move and to speak and to operate as you desire. We open that door, Revelation 3. We hear you calling, and I thank you that you are bringing victory and change, life change into every area. We receive from that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today, I want to look at a couple of verses in the context, and it ties into this idea of praying. We've all prayed before, but prayer without power is just words spoken into the air. Prayer without power is just words spoken into the air. And it might make us feel good for a little bit, but at the end of the day, we want the meat of the results, do we not? We could tell people, oh, I'm running into this problem. Oh, I'll pray for you. And some of us don't even pray at all. I remember I used to always tell people, I'll be praying for you. And the Lord, Holy Spirit started convicting me. You're not praying for them. You're lying. Don't you like it when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you about stuff? And he does that for all of us. And so I remember thinking, okay, I can outsmart this. So if I said it and I started to feel that check, I'd go, okay, Lord, just right now, right, just touch them, bless them. And I'll say a quick prayer. But feel like, okay, I did my part and move on. And a powerful prayer doesn't have to be a long prayer by any means. That's not what I'm saying. But a powerful prayer does have to be heartfelt, the Bible tells us. I'm going to look at a couple of verses I'm going to throw on the screen. I'm going to reference some verses. I'm going to do some in passing. I challenge you, as we do always, challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Because it's the seed of the Word, Matthew 13, that produces the change in your life that you obey out of. James says obedience comes. And so I want to challenge you to challenge everything anybody says that speaks into your life. It's amazing how we allow people, so many people in our world. And in today's technology, there are a lot of voices in the world, as there have always been. But there are a lot of voices now that can get your ear, which hasn't always been. And so technology has made it, you can get on Facebook, you can get on Twitter, you can get on Instagram, you can get on Snapchat, whatever, and see the opinions, the thoughts, the ideas, the voice of so many people. And quite honestly, many people have now a platform that they have never developed to earn, which means they have no merit behind their life. They just flippantly say stuff without worrying about if it's true or not. They just say stuff. They'll speak into your life, and they don't care to benefit you, and they don't care if it's true or not. You got to be careful what voices you listen to. Amen. And I'm just not talking about secular people or sinners. I'm talking about even in the church world. I'm even talking about ministers. There's a lot of preachers on TV. You got to be careful what you listen to, who you have voice. I always like to think of it this way. Our legal system is based where you are innocent until proven guilty. But when it comes to the things of your heart, the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, actually, it tells us. And so I like to think of this, when it comes to ideas I embrace it in my life, everything's guilty till I prove innocent. I don't approach it as innocent and then see if it, no. That's like planting bad seeds to see what kind of crop you get. It might create some damage. That's like having two glasses of soda, and you're like, oh, pastor, are those both yours? Yeah. Can I have one? I'm so thirsty. Sure. Oh, by the way, before you pick, and I'll let you pick, one of them I accidentally pour some poison in. And I really don't know which one, but go ahead. What would you do? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Now, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't pick the left or the right. You wouldn't throw dice. You wouldn't do what would you do? Wisdom would say you'd walk away. Sometimes we need to just walk away before we allow people to speak into our lives. Yeah. You say, I just want to hear what everybody says. I'm looking for all opinions. You don't understand how the process works as you open your heart up to the ideas and the words of people. Matthew 13 says words like seeds that goes into your heart, and it will produce a change into your life. For some, we've become jaded. We've become mean. We've become angry. We've become critical of everything. Why? Because of what we've allowed into our lives. And that's not the plan of your Father. He wants you to grow, to be like a garden. He wants you to have the aroma of his goodness to wherever you go that you begin to display. Wait a minute. It's not. And I'm not saying that bad things won't happen. Bad things can happen to good people. But it's not the plan of your Father. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? It's not the plan of your Father. That's not the heart of your Father to do evil to you. No, he wants to do only good for you. It's the enemy, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. This is not even in my notes. I don't know who I'm talking about. And maybe you came today and say, I just don't know what this church people, this church stuff. That might be you, and that might be where you're at. And I appreciate you being real with who you and think you are and how you're feeling. But I'm telling you, don't allow people to speak into you to take you down a path that you don't really want to be. Because they'll affect the reflection of who you see yourself. And I'm telling you, the word of God, James says that a person that looks into the perfect law of liberty, it's like looking into a mirror, a reflection. And when you get into the word and begin to see who God says you are, that's what we need to build our life on. Because the world will say you're sick, God says you're the healed of the Lord. The world will say you're a failure, God says you're more than a conqueror. The world will say that you're going to die, but the word of God says that you will live and declare the works of the Lord. You get, as we get the word on the situation and begin to see what God is saying in our lives, we'll begin to add this whole area of prayer. Prayer that's just not words, but prayer that carries power. I don't know about you, but I think I could maybe boldly say that most of us, when we pray, we want prayer that has power, because prayer with power is what has some progress or change in our life. It's just not speaking. It's just not wasting time and energy. But literally, when you pray, you see an answer. Can I get an amen? And so how do we tap into that power that's available to us? Because we need to grow in the things of God. God doesn't give you all the power up front. That's like giving a 14-year-old keys to a car. I saw somebody post recently, and I'm not saying their name out of respect, but they were thankful that someone had given their grandkids, who were still not at the driving age, a Corvette. I'm like, well, no 16-year-old needs to be driving a Corvette. I mean, I'm thankful that they're blessed to have a Corvette. Nothing wrong with that. But you put a 16-year-old, come on, let's get real. Guys, even at our age of maturity, you put us behind a Corvette. You want to race me? I mean, it's like, why are you putting all those GoPros sticking on your car? You know why? Because you're going to go race that car. So too much power before maturity can mess us up. But God wants us to grow in the things of God so that we can access the power of God in a way, in a powerful way. And there is so much power available to you today, because God's power is unlimited. The devil's power is limited. God's power is infinite. The devil's power is finite with boundaries. But we don't always see that. And so I want to look at a couple verses today. The first one's out of Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. If not, you can look at the screen. It says, the exceeding greatness of his power, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let's stay here at that verse for a few seconds. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding. You know, exceeding means more than the needed. Exceeding. We use that word when we might use the word excessive. Say excessive. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, well, that's a little excessive. I don't know why they need that. Well, they got a new car. A used car is good enough. They don't need 4 new tires. They could have got some used tires down the road. We all have that in our life. We all deal with that. You look at somebody and say, well, that's a little excessive. That's more than what they really need. Now hear me out. But you think, that's not me, Pastor. I do everything conservative. I manage my resources, and praise God, we need to do that. I'm not saying being foolish. I'm not saying be foolish with your finances. But it's amazing how the word excessive is used a lot. That's, isn't that in excess, Pastor? Don't you think that's in excess? Well, what is excessive? But what is that which is excessive to you? Excessive is not an absolute norm or number. It is a what's beyond your norm. I could take you to a third world country, to Philippines, which we have a lot of churches there. And actually, on a side note, we're in schedule now. I'll be going to the Philippines in the latter part of May and early part of June to be ministering to our pastors and churches, our hope churches that are there. And some of them might be watching even now. God bless you. And so I could take you to some countries that are third world countries, and you can go in there and walk and see how they live. Some of them living in trash heaps, maybe a meal of rice once a day. And you would look and say, wow, they're struggling. And they would look at you and say, wow, excessive. I'm telling you, even in our society where we might call somebody not middle class, but low class or in poverty, in most countries of the world, do you know most countries of the world, it's like $2 a day income? I mean, they look at America and say, wow, excessive. In fact, if you're in India and you're rich in India, one of the ways you display that you're rich is you have your own bicycle. So where somebody right now in India is praying to be rich to have a bicycle, you call it clutter in your garage, and you walk around it. Right?
Yeah.
Don't shut me down. I want you to see something. Why? Because we look at something and say, oh, now maybe you're not. Maybe you're the type of person, you got your bicycles and they're all clean and they're waxed and they're on the wall and you've outlined it to know where it goes if you take it down, right? But for the most of us, you have a bicycle, it's probably put in a corner somewhere in the garage or somewhere in front of the house, and maybe even more than one, and you walk around it. We don't even ride them. So you got bikes that you don't take care of, you don't even ride. That for some would say to have one would make them rich. So to you it's clutter, to them it's prosperity. But the difference is what is your norm. And when we approach God in prayer based on our old norms, we cannot grasp what is available to us by his norm. That's why we have to have this perspective of ours renewed. The Bible says don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because when you go to pray, if you pray based on your old norm, you'll never get what God has for you. And when God wants you to pray, he's wanting you to pray according to him, not you. Him, not you. But when you begin to see it God's way, you begin to pray big prayers, powerful prayers, prayers that are beyond your ability. Don't be praying, God, help me just survive the day. Because that can be done without God. What if you start praying prayers that you know that couldn't be done without God, even on your best day? What if you begin to pray for stuff that seemed to be impossible in the natural? But if you got a scripture that shows you what is available to you, and you say, well, God, if you said it, isn't that what Abraham was? A man of faith? Romans 4 that said that he did not consider his own body now 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, Abraham was in prayer in alignment with the promise based on the power of God, not his ability. Well, let's go and throw that chapter 3 verse up. Keep it there, and then we'll go to chapter 1. Now unto him that is able to exceeding, excessive, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. According to that power that's working in me. Come on, say in me.
In me.
Say God's power.
God's power.
Come on, say God's power,
God's power.
Is working
in me.
See, the way God works, he's working in you and then through you.
Yeah.
In you, then through you. He equips you to deal with the challenges. He doesn't put you on autopilot sleep state and say, you sleep, I'll take care of. He says, no, I'll work in you. Now you go and take care of it. I've given you authority. What you allow will be allowed. What you do not permit will not be permitted. King James says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You have the authority. You have the right when God equips you for you to do what God's called you to do. That sword of the Spirit, the Bible says, now take the sword of the Spirit. You don't take something that doesn't belong to you. God's not asking you to steal something. If you take something that doesn't belong to you, then you're stealing it. You do not have a right to it. But if you have a right to it, then you can take it. What gives you right? Ownership. Stay with me. Ownership. The word of God in Deuteronomy says that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to you. God gives you ownership when he reveals something to you. And when he gives you a revelation from his word, then you have right to take it and use it to bring order into your world. You can't bring order into everybody's world, but you're called to bring order into your world. The order of God. The order of God. That's the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. What is it bringing the kingdom, the order of God into your world? That means not allowing the devil to come and go as he pleases. That means to do what the Father shows you to do. Upon this revelation, Peter, at the time, was Simon. I'm going to change your name to Petros, Rock, Peter. And upon that revelation, who I am, I'm the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. Upon that revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. A lot of times we read that the enemy will not override us. But a gate to a city that they understood. That when you got to understand the culture and what they're saying, the gates of hell, gates were not an offensive weapon. Gates were the very last line of defense before the plunder. So if there was an army coming, typically they would send their army out to fight the enemy. And if you saw the enemy's army getting close to your gates, bad news. Because that means they've defeated your power. Now all you have is your last line of defense. Stay with me, church. Because some of us have been praying passive, defensive prayers. God never called you to be on the defense. The armor of God does not cover the backside, it covers the front side. God's called us to be on offense. God has called us to be on offense. The kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent taketh by force. God didn't call you to be passive. God didn't call you to be timid. The righteous are bold as a lion. God didn't call you to sit back and let the cards be dealt, and you just have to live with life. No, he called you to rise and shine, Isaiah 60, verse 1. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He's called you into the darkness to bring light, not to sit there and cry about the darkness. He's called you to bring order to where the enemy. Jesus didn't go around and say, well, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, I thought somebody in the religious world would agree with me. I just need someone to agree and be a faith partner with me. If he had none, he had his Father. And the Bible says that God looked through the earth and found nobody to do it. So he sent himself. He sent his only begotten Son. The Word became flesh, John 1 verse 14, and dwelt amongst us. And so you don't worry about getting everybody to agree with you. You need to be in agreement with God if you want to pray powerful prayers. Because prayers that are powerful are prayers that are aligned with the word of God. He watches over his word to perform it. Not in line with your problem. Not in line with the situation. Not in line with the fear. We pray out of fear. And we can't figure out we don't have power. Listen, you might feel fear, but tell yourself, that's not me. That's just my emotions acting up to fear the enemy's trying to do it. I'm not moved by what I feel, hear, or see. I'm moved by the word of God. The Bible tells us to be men and women of faith. Don't be moved by the obstacles. Be moved by the direction of the word that's revealed to you. We want powerful prayer, but we pray out of fear. We want powerful prayer, but we pray out of the situation. We want powerful prayer, but we pray to the standard of our world instead of getting to see his world and his level. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Are you getting anything from this morning? Amen. Say, God's power is all power. Didn't Jesus say that after the resurrection? All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Now you go in my name, which means the authority of God. You go in my name. That's the authority of God. You don't have the power. It's his power. But your authority. See, you're waiting to feel power. You don't have to feel power when you understand authority. Right? You don't have to feel powerful when you understand authority. That's why the Bible says, let those who are weak say, I'm strong in the strength of the Lord. Which means if someone is powerful by authority, they might be physically weak, but if they carry a lot of power because of the authority, just like the soldier, centurion soldier said to Jesus, and he said, I'll come to your house. He said, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just speak the word only. From a man under authority and a man over authority. Catch the two. We all want to be over authority, but not many people want to understand and appreciate being under authority. And you'll never successfully be over authority until you learn how to be successfully under authority. And I'm not talking about allowing people to abuse you and misuse you and manipulate. That's not authority. That's abuse. I'm talking about the understanding of the authority of God. And that's why the enemy's tactic is to destroy the home and destroy authority, because you see authority being misused and then nobody wants any authority. Authority is a good thing. He said, I'm a man under authority and a man over authority, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. Just speak the word only. Well, let me ask you, if you're in the military and you give a command, where did that command come from? It comes from the top. And so when they begin to dispatch the command, it's a command they've received. See, we create the prayer of ideas and tack on the name of Jesus and think it's power. No. The prayer comes from heaven. The word comes from heaven. And when you get the instruction from heaven, when you get the command from heaven, when you get the assignment from heaven, and then you speak it by the authority, it's not your power. You don't need to feel powerful. You just have to be under authority and understand that what your position is to exercise the authority God's given you in your world. And now it's backed by his power because you're in alignment with his word. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice this. And what is the exceeding greatness? Exceeding. There it goes again. Exceeding. Excessive. More than you need. You got a $50 problem and you're praying for a $35 prayer. And even if God answered your $35 prayer, you're still short. But you got to understand, you got a $50 problem to a God who has trillions of dollars waiting for you, and you're crying about the $50 problem instead of celebrating the trillion-dollar resource. We'll cry about the $100 problem instead of rejoicing about the resource. Oh, instead of crying about, oh, this is a big mountain, you ought to celebrate the resource. You ought to celebrate the supply. You ought to celebrate the provision of your Heavenly Father, who's good, who's so good. And he is not stingy. For God so loved the world that he gave. He's generous. He's generous, Jesus said. Ooh, I remember years ago, where we were, as a church in those days, struggling financially. You know, financial struggle is one of the worst struggles to deal with. I'll be honest with you. Money is a great tool, but a horrible master. And you got to keep money in its place, or it will try to take a place that it shouldn't have. And when you start getting short on funds, it will creep up to be a higher position. And I remember praying, and I wasn't even praying for money, but we'd been during the week dealing with some practical things and trying to manage the resources. And all of a sudden, during prayer on a Sunday, not even praying, I heard the Holy Spirit say, pray out of me, praise God for the Holy Ghost. Folks, the Holy Spirit is not weird, goofy, and there's some people who are weird and goofy, but don't let them throw you off from the presence of the Spirit of God. The presence of God is real. Hallelujah. The presence of God is real. Hallelujah. It's not being goofy, squinting your eyes, and talking funny when you go out in public. When you go through, drive through, order some food. Don't pray about it. Just order some food. Some people get really weird. I'm saying just don't. You hold some of us up who are hungry. We got places to go. Stand in line. Well, let me think, Lord. No, just pray. Just order. You don't pray anymore. No, but so, you know, I mean, people can be weird, but Jesus is not weird. So anyway, I was praying, and out of my spirit, I heard the Spirit of God pray through me, and these words just came out of a prayer. And I said, thank you, Father, what a blessing it is, what a pleasure it is to depend on you for finances. Oh, all of a sudden something changed on the inside of me. And my perspective changed. My attitude changed. The money hadn't changed yet. There wasn't nothing changed financially in the natural yet, but my perspective changed. My attitude changed. Now, wait a minute. People aren't the source of Hope Church. Offerings aren't the church of the source of Hope Church. My Heavenly Father's the source of Hope Church ministry. Amen? That'll help. If you're a minister or future minister, get your eyes off people and on your source. Celebrate the resources. What a pleasure it is to depend on your Heavenly Father for your blessing. Don't look at your job or your boss as your source. There's just tools. God will use people. God will use people. God will use offerings. God will use opportunity. But He's not limited just to certain people. You get to certain people feel like that they have certain, oh, you better do what I say because I, no, you look at God. When your boss says, I need you to do something, I know it's dishonest, but if you don't do it, you're going to lose your job. Don't let the enemy use money to sell your soul or sell your ethics or sell your, a good reputation is so important. That's important. I didn't say that in the first service. Somebody needs to hear it. Maybe you're in a situation and your own credibility is being sold for money. You're saying, but I need the money. No, you need a good name, a good reputation, the Bible says. So what do? You do what's right. But if I lose my job, oh, you obey God and you'll make sure He's your source and He'll find you a better job. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean go sit in the easy chair and watch soap operas all day and say, God, just let it come to me and the phone hand rings. So I guess, no, you got to do something. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's get back to the word. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. Notice, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to you who believes? Who believes? Who believes? Say, I believe.
I believe.
You know how you know if you believe? Mary and Martha, at the death of their brother, he was sick. Jesus shows up. Lord, why are you so late? My brother would be healed by now if you would have cured him. I know you could have. They knew that they were comfortable enough with the ministry of Jesus to know Him as the healer of the sick. But they did not know Him as the resurrection, the one who would raise the dead. They were secure in the revelation of Him to be the healer of the sick. And He said, don't worry, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know, Lord. And again, challenge it. You search it out during this week. I know, Lord, that He will rise in the last day. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. And He said, do you believe? Why would Jesus ask that? Because He needed her to believe. His power is connected to your belief. Say, His power is connected to my belief. And she said, yes, Lord. Let's be real. How many people would say no? Come on. Jesus standing in front of you. Your brother's dead. He's right there. And He said, do you believe? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I believe. Yes, sir. Then He said, okay, let's go to the place where you stop believing. Let's get to the place where you stop believing. Because before you were believing when he was just sick. Now you stop believing because you think it's beyond hope. We stop believing when we think it's hopeless. Aren't you glad you're part of a church called Hope? Hallelujah. So if you came in today and say it's hopeless, that's because that's where you believe, because that's all you know of Him. But when you begin to see who He is, that with God all things are possible to them who believe. And so He said, okay, let's go to the tomb. And what did He do? Just like Revelation 3, He says, if you hear my voice, I stand knocking. If you hear my voice, then open up. I'll come in. If you give me an opportunity. What did He do? He gave them an instruction. The instruction from heaven was their opportunity to open up. And it was their opportunity to open up so He could do what He was called to do. And what did He say? Remove the stone. Remove the stone. He gave her the assignment to get other. He didn't ask Mary and Martha. Can you imagine Mary and Martha pushing the stone? serve. No, he wasn't asking them to physically do it. He was asking them to give the order for it to be done. He was asking them to say something that was in alignment with their belief system. This is important because God is an offensive God. That's sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Revelation says that when Jesus comes on a white horse, that he will have a sword, a flaming sword that's in his mouth. He's waiting for them to believe so they make a command to start the process. And Martha says, Lord, by now, it's been 4 days. He smells. He stinks. If you're in King James, he stinketh. Right? He smells. You thought your neighbor smelled when he came by. You think, take a bath. My goodness, buy some something. This man's been in a tomb 4 days, rotting. Inside and out. He smells. All wrapped up, but he still smells. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What was her belief connected to? The obedience to an instruction. We say we believe, and then God will say, I'll show you what to do. And it's, folks, we're running out of time, but let me say it this way. It's not doing anything. It's not doing something. It's doing the right thing that you hear from heaven. It's the command from heaven. And last year's command from heaven for a situation doesn't mean it's this year's command for a similar situation. It's always a fresh word from heaven that guides you. His word is a lamp and a light unto your path and feet. Let me read Ephesians. This is the context in chapter 1, Ephesians 1. We'll not show you on the screen, but in chapter 1, starting in verse 16, he begins with, this is my prayer for you. Paul's praying. And here's his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, the anointing for wisdom and revelation. Just not what you can do on your own natural ability and brain power and IQ, but what exceeds you that comes from heaven, that there be an anointing on your life. I speak that over your life right now in the name of Jesus, that the anointing from heaven for wisdom and revelation will come upon your eyes and your heart, that you begin to see the way God wants you to see and know what God wants you to do. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. See, God wants you to know something. And we'll jump right down back to verse 19. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power that he used to resurrect Jesus in the tomb after 3 days, that power is working available to you, that you might know that power, that you might know what to do. And as you obey what to do, you have access to power that exceeds even your prayer. So instead of praying for a $50 prayer for your $50 need, you ought to pray and celebrate the resources of heaven and say, I'm just not going to pray for just enough. I'm going to begin to pray. I prayed for a person in the first service, and they said they're doing cutbacks at work, and I just pray that I won't lose my job. I said, that's not praying big enough. First of all, we're going to deal with the fear that would mess with your mind and get you to wonder. Better have a backup plan. You better be afraid that will keep you up at night. Let's deal with that first. And then let's not just pray that you keep your job. We don't pray to keep. We pray to grow. Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. So let's pray that during cutbacks, you get a promotion. That's praying powerful prayer. I thank you, Father, that when they're cutting back jobs and people are afraid of losing their job, I stand secure and know that I pray for a promotion and a better job in the same company. We've seen it happen. Don't pray to survive. Pray to flourish. That you may, according to that power. All right, let me ask you this. When Jesus was resurrected, did God resurrect some of them? Can you imagine Jesus coming out of the grave? What's going on? Oh, I'm resurrected. I see your life, but what's wrong with that right leg? Oh, it's still coming. It's not there yet, but you're being, he's done the left side. We're still working on the right side. Why aren't you having any feeling? I don't have feeling on this side, just on that side. We look at it and we miss out so much. Do you realize that every cell, every organ, every part, every atom, every molecule in his physical body had to be resurrected? It wasn't partial resurrection. It was complete and entire total resurrection. And if the same spirit, the same power of God, the resurrected Jesus in totality, in completion, why do we pray for partial answers? Don't pray for a partial prayer and a partial healing or a partial miracle or just enough. No! Raise the bar. Begin to pray for impossible prayers. You're not praying just so, oh, Lord, just bring them back. I know he'll be on a breathing machine the rest of his life, but if he's still with us, that's good enough, Jesus. No! Pray that sucker out of the bed. Walk in out and say, see you later. Hallelujah. Begin to pray big, powerful prayers. Lord, if you just help me, show me how to make ends meet so I can just help me just squeeze out a little bit. Lord, do we help us so we can, no, begin to pray. Lord, I thank you for more than enough so my family's needs are met and I can take care of somebody else. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to feed some other people. I want to feed somebody else's kids. Quit praying just to feed your own kids. You got to raise the bar. Lord, I thank you. I have so much. Bills are paid. My family's fed. And I'm feeding the neighbors. Yeah. Hallelujah. Raise the bar of your prayer. Because the exceeding greatness of his power is available to you. When you get a hold of the word and obey it. He'll use you. He'll raise you up. We pray wimpy prayers, and we call him a wimpy God. Oh, I never said that, but you thought it, and he knows your heart. He's an all-powerful God. Now, unto him, that means thanks unto him, praise unto him who is well able, well able. He wants to do it. If you believe, if you believe. How do I believe? When I hear, I obey. When I hear, I obey. When I hear, I obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.